Nobody cares anymore. And that's when we have to remember, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, that you are not alone. He's with you. And not only that, even when you feel like you're too weak to pray, what's it say? It says that Jesus went up and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father now, interceding or praying for us. So Jesus himself is praying for us. He's praying for you, Mrs. Johnson. He's praying for you, Larry. He's praying for all of us. He knows our needs before we even ask. And in fact, it even says we can pray out the mysteries, because God, it's not a mystery to God, it's only a mystery to us. And so, and that the same thing with education. It's a mystery about how to tie your shoes until somebody taught you, right? And then, you know, it can be a little bugger. Do you do the butterfly, or what do you do, you know? How do you do your shoe? But once you've learned, it's easy. So you see, it's the same thing with God. We learn, we grow on the things of God. It says here in Jeremiah 29, it says in 13, then with a deep longing you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now that's interesting. When we realize that we got to have it. So you see, we got to have air. We have to have oxygen in this air to breathe right now, or we're all in trouble, right? If we all of a sudden we just expire. That's it. No air, no life. And so what we have to realize is the Word of God, it's more powerful than any two-edged sword, that Jesus himself became the Word, and he dwelt on the earth, and the Word became flesh, it says. So we have to come to realize that just like the commandment, the new commandment that Jesus gave was what? That we should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. So if we're doing that, then it is a vital necessity for us to seek him and to search for him and to believe that he loves us. And just like that prodigal son, that when we return, that he's been waiting the whole time. He never left us. We might have left him, but he was always waiting on us. And in another place in Jeremiah 23:4, it says, it's like, well, how do we do this? How can we make it on our own? We don't have to make it on our own. God gave us each other. God uses people. And it says here in Jeremiah 23:4, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them. And they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, says the Lord. So in other words, he sends people like us to come across your path to share what God has showed us. Because we're not doing this just to have something to tell you. We're doing this for our own lives. So we can be safe, so we can be strong, so we can enjoy the goodness the Lord has. Because Jesus said what? That he came on this earth, and he died, and he rose again, and now he's up in heaven, that we might have life more abundantly. So God's come to give us excess, to add to us, not to take away. And so as we learn in his word and through hearing other people who have learned from God, we grow. And as we grow, then it says here that we'll no longer be afraid. Because, for instance, if we can realize in Psalm 91, where it says, 1,000 can fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but will not come near me. That means we have a protection. We have a provision through the Lord. And a good example is that umbrella. If it's raining outside right now, and my wife goes out with an umbrella overhead, and I wait and go behind her without one, who's going to get wet? Why? Because I'm not under the umbrella, right? See, God has got that umbrella for us. He's got that protection for us. And he said in John 14, he said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Well, why would you want to obey his commands? Because we have to realize that he knows what's best. That he's the one that formed us. He said that before we were even formed in our mother's wombs, he knew us. And he wrote out all the days of our life. But we have free will, so we don't have to follow it every day. We can go get off course. You know, how many of you ever got lost trying to go somewhere? You know, it gets frustrating after a while because you're supposed to be there at 3:30, let's say. Here it is, 4:15. You took a wrong turn, and you're getting frustrated. How do I get there? How do I get there? Well, it's the same thing with our walk with God. We can get lost. But you know what? Sooner or later, we usually get found. Obviously, every one of us got found or we wouldn't be here today, right? Everybody made it here. We're all here to hear the word of God. We're all here to sing and praise his name. So we're not lost. We were found. And see, he's our shepherd, which is really good. That's one expression. The Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd do? He leads his sheep. If one of them gets lost, it says in the Bible, if you have 100 sheep and one get lost, what are you going to do? You're going to leave the 99 and go find the one that got lost. Isn't that wonderful to know that every one of us matter as individuals? Yes, every one of us in this room, God loves us all. But if one of us is lost, he'll go find us. That's how much he loves us. You know, and like I said before, if any one of us, if you were the only person on this earth when Jesus died on that cross, he still would have done it because that's how much he loves us. So that's a tremendous thing to know the love of God. And you know, we're just scratching the surface to understand the love of God. But I do know this, he's good. And like I said, we've had marvels this year. Our dog, we told that before, how she had gone blind. We prayed for her. Our pastors prayed for her. She got her eyesight back. She's doing fine now. And God blessed us. You know, we weren't here last week because we went on for our 10th anniversary. We went on a cruise on a ship. And God, you know, God provided the way for that. And he blessed us. And we had a good trip. Now, there was one night where the seas got kind of rough. There were like 6-foot waves and the boat was kind of rocking. And but God spoke to me on that. I was out looking at these waves. And you know, in the 23rd Psalm, it says, you know, that he leads us. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. But he also says that in the shadow of the death. But you got to realize that shadow can be scary, but it can't hurt you. You've never been bit by a shadow of a dog, I guarantee you that. It's got to be the dog itself. That shadow cannot bite you. Now, it could be scary. Oh, my goodness. You know, you're going to back up. But that shadow cannot harm you. It says it's in the shadow of death. And so anyhow, I was on the ship watching these waves, and they were big enough so when they... You know, the tops peaked. You could see like a spray of water come off them. And it seemed almost frightening, you know, like, man, this could be dangerous. But you know what happened? The ship just kept going along. Even though it looked scary and these waves looked like they were going to do something, it just kept doing its business and we went over to the other side. We'd had no problems. And that's what God's telling us. We don't have to be scared of the shadow because greater is he within us than he that's in the world. And we have victory in him. So, but we had a wonderful time. Like I say, we did have the rough seas. And if anyone of you are out in the ocean anytime soon, let me tell you something that works. Ginger capsules. You know, it's, you know, ginger that you use as a seasoning. Well, they sell them in capsules. And ginger actually helps keep your stomach settled. Because we tried it. It worked. Praise God. We also prayed. We did like Jesus. We commanded the waves to stop. We said, in the name of Jesus, sea, calm down. And it got better. It really did. Because that's the power we have in the name of Jesus. We have to practice our faith. That's right. And then here in Amos it says, Amos 4. It says, seek me, search diligently for me, and regard me as more essential than food so that you may live. Huh. So again, we have to desire him above and beyond anything else. It says here, if they seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what? All else shall be added unto us. So, if we put him first, he'll always take care of us. And our pastor, our church, what we're teaching right now is if we honor God, he will honor us. Because he doesn't have a choice. God is a God of honor. He's got a covenant with us. And if we do our part, he has to do his part. Because he said that he's not a man and he should lie. So what a comfort we have in that. And so when his word tells us in Isaiah, for instance, that by Jesus' stripes we're healed, that means that's available to us. Or Peter, on the other side of the cross, after it was all done and you know Jesus had gone up into heaven, he said that we were healed, which means it's a done deal. He also, what else? There's other promises. It tells us, actually, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? So the answer is there. And you don't need them all. You just need one. Like, say you're hungry right now. Well, Lord, you said you'd feed me. You said that I would have a supply. So I claim I have food. And look, here you got cookies. You already got food. See, he took care of you. But God provides. That's what I'm trying to say. And he knows our needs before we even ask. And so we can thank him and we can praise him for that. But it says here that we regard him as more essential than food so that you may live. Seek the Lord, search diligently for him, and long for him as your most essential need. So how essential is God to you? Do you every day know that he's like a good friend? You have to have him in your life. You have to seek him. You have to say, hello, Lord, how are you today? You're like a friend? Because he is a friend. He's a friend to us. He's our Lord and Savior, but he's also our friend. And he loves us. He's a, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry, what, everything to him in prayer. And that's the truth. See, Jesus said, and it's fine that we're doing the singing. We're supposed to praise and worship him. It's fine right now that I'm talking with you and sharing scriptures, doing some preaching. But Jesus said, first and foremost, that we are to be called a house of prayer. And what is prayer? It's conversation. So we're supposed to be in conversation with God every day. He says he knows our needs before we even ask. He, you know, he compares it with the birds. He said, consider the birds of the air. You know, he takes care of them. He feeds them. Or consider the beautiful flowers. You know, he said even Solomon wasn't arrayed like him. Now, apparently Solomon had some pretty gnarly clothes, you know, some real fancy duds. Real fancy duds. Probably had gold thread in them because he had all that money. But it didn't beat a flower. And you see, God made the flower. And the thing I love about autumn, you know, we just had the fall foliage. God did that. Daddy painted those leaves. Isn't that beautiful? Now, man can't do that. Now, we can make a painting of it, but what are we doing? We're making a copy of what God already did. See, God did it, and we're just making a copy of it. So what an amazing God we serve. But yeah, are we seeking him first? Is he first and foremost in our life? See, my wife and I, we know this about our relationship. We're in a threesome. She's my wife. I love her. But God is in the center. He has to be there. Because as long as God is in the center, all is well. You know, there used to be that. Everybody used to have those bumper stickers saying, Jesus is my co-pilot. That's the wrong answer. You should be the co-pilot. He's the driver. You know, let put him in charge. But you know what it is? It's because we don't understand the love of God. You know, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that somebody loves you and is going to take care of you, then you're not going to be fearful if they say, well, let's go hop in the car and get downtown and get ice cream or whatever. You're going to be, oh, this is great. Go have fun. But on the other hand, if you're nervous and say, well, I don't know this person. My mom and daddy said not to go with a stranger, you know, or something like that. Then you're fearful. So if we have fear about, is God really going to take care of us? It means we don't know him enough yet. If we haven't experienced that love of God enough to know that he won't leave us, he won't forsake us, that he won't let us fail, and that we can boldly declare the works of the Lord, say, no, I can plead the blood of Jesus in the situation. And you know something about fear? Let me quickly say this. There's two things in life. The kingdom of God operates by faith. You know, according to your faith, Jesus kept saying. Now, the other system, the devil's system, operates by fear. The only thing the devil could do is scare you with those shadows I was talking about. If your fear is not of God. Now, it does say fear the Lord, but that doesn't mean to be scared. That means to honor, to respect him, to look up to him like you would your own parents and say, well, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you that you love me so much that you're providing for me. Thank you that, you know, for the love you show me. You see, that's how we're supposed to fear the Lord. But other fear, if it really scares you, that's not of God. And so when we're doing this, we realize that by faith, we acquire things. Like every one of you have faith right now that your chair or your wheelchair is going to hold you up, or you wouldn't be sitting in it, or at least you'd be nervous and maybe holding the edge right now and wondering if you're going to fall, right? But no, you're pretty confident. She's even got her shoes off. She's not going anywhere. See? She has faith in that chair. In the same way, we can have faith in God as we experience him and let him, in the little things, just trust him. Like, well, Lord, thank you I had toast this morning. Thank you for providing coffee for me this morning. You know, I'm not hungry. I have clothes to wear. I have shelter. See, he knows our needs before we even ask, and he provides them. And we need to be thankful and thank him for what he's doing for us. With Thanksgiving coming, they'll take some time and say, you know, Lord, thank you that I have these friends around me. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, maybe I'd rather be home, but I'm here right now, and thank you that I've got friends. Thank you I'm going to have food to eat. Thank you we got the, you know, when it's cold outside, I'm warm. Thank you that we have friends, like we call you friends. We come in because we love you, and we love to spend time with you. Thank you that friends can come in and see us, and we can just enjoy the Lord together. You know, we need to be thankful for what the Lord has done. Amen? So we do give thanks and praise to him, because God is good all the time. And yes, we enjoyed our cruise. Oh, where we ended up going to was Cozumel, Mexico. And it was pretty. The water was that, what, aqua color? Beautiful water. And it was about 80 degrees. Felt good. And we got to go on the island and go to the beach a little bit and stuff like that. It was a wonderful little getaway. And God was good. Like I say, he faithfully brought us to and fro. We came back. We got spoiled on the ship, though, because once you're on it, they wait over your hand and foot. We had breakfast. We're not in bed, but they bring it to us in their room, and we go out and eat, and it was a wonderful thing. But you know what happened, Mrs. Jones? We got back home, and you know, my wife said that we had to get out of bed. Nobody was going to bring us breakfast. Do you believe that? It was over, but it was wonderful while it lasted. See, God's good, and he took care of us. And we're thankful for him. And we give him the glory for it. Because, you see, he said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And all the silver and gold are his. So really, anything we have is his anyways. He allowed us to get a hold of it. It was never was ours. But he loves us so much that he wanted us to have it. And so we thank him for that. Amen? And so we had a wonderful time. And God provided, too. Because, you see, you know, we have the business, so we had to have help there. I had my mom, my sister came and stayed with her. And they had some good visiting going on. They hadn't seen each other for a while. And so God works that way. He just works in circles and takes care of everybody, you know. It's not only about you, it's about others. Because that's how God is. He's not a respecter of persons. What he'll do for one person, he'll do for all. Is that right, Mrs. Johnson? Amen. He said he loves us all. There's no favorites with God. Any one of us, if we will come to him, seek him first, say, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I need you. He is more than able, and he is faithful to the very end. Amen? So we do praise God for that. And let's see, one other thing. Well, this is what we did on the ship out of Luke, where Jesus calms the sea. Now, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake, which was actually the Sea of Galilee. It was a pretty big body of water. So they set out. But as they were sailing, he fell asleep. See, Jesus gave the command. He said, let us go over to the other side. And he had faith to know that, hey, it's okay. I've said it. We're going. And so he went to sleep. But, of course, you know what happened? A storm came up. He said a fierce gale of wind swept down and started to swamp the boat, and they were in great danger. In other words, water was coming in the boat. So they came to Jesus and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we're about to die. They thought they were. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging violent waves, and they ceased, and it became calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? Or how about this? Where is your confidence in me? You know, our pastor has a good example about that confidence thing. Let's say you need a ride to work tomorrow morning. And you ask me, say, well, could you pick me up at 7 and bring me to work? And I say, yes. Now, two things are going to happen. Either you're going to have a good night's sleep, or you're going to think, boy, I don't know if I trust him. Will he come get me? Will he even remember? Do I have to call him? What about if his alarm clock doesn't go off? See, well, how much confidence do you have in me to come get you? See, that's what we do with God. Do you have confidence in him? Do you trust him? Do you believe he will come through? Or are you going to worry about it? And see, worry, the only thing worry could do is give us more gray hairs. And he says he knows how many hairs we have on our head. So what would you rather have him tell you? You got 500 gray hairs and 200 black? Or would you have him say you got 400 black hairs and 100 gray? You see, don't worry, in other words. Be happy. You know, we don't need to get any extra gray hairs because he knows how many you got. Let's let him say, hey, he's got more black than he does white or whatever. But don't worry. Be happy. That was a song. But there was some truth to that song because God's got us. And our worrying is not going to change a single thing. It never has. It never will, as far as changing the situation. And, you know, they've also done research, and they've proven that over 90% of the stuff we worry about never even happens. So we're wasting our time when we can just say, no, thank you, Lord. Now, does that mean that fear isn't real? Yes, fear is real. That's what I wanted to tell you earlier in Timothy. It says, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. That means fear is a spirit. You know what we can do with spirits? We can bind them up and cast them out. Say, in the name of Jesus, get away from me, you spirit of fear. I will not listen to you. Take authority over it. It's a spirit. Because that's how the devil operates, is by fear. God operates by faith. So that doesn't mean it's not real. So when something's bothering you, every time it comes to you, you got to do what it says in Philippians. Whatever is good, whatever is worthy, whatever is lovely of praise, think on those things. So we just got to turn it around. It says in Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, I've said this before. If you want the dog, don't call the cat, right? So it's what we got to say what we want. You know, it's like on the way here today, we had to do it a little different today because we also do farm jobs. So between church and here, we had to stop and take care of some horses and some cat and two dogs. Try not to get dirty doing that. But anyways, also get something to eat. So we went through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Don't usually do that. But, you know, I ordered a chicken sandwich. She had a chicken sandwich. My mom had chicken nuggets. Now I'm getting all hungry. And we had some french fries. But anyways, guess what? If I had gone up there with the car and pulled up to the window and just stood there or sat there looking at them, they never would have brought me anything. Why? Because I didn't say anything. We got to order it. And if I had said, hey, this is McDonald's, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I want a Whopper. Would that have worked? No, that's Burger King. So you see, we got to ask for what we want. It's the same thing with God. He knows what we need before we ask, but he says, don't beat around the bush. Just be honest with me. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. And he will. So what a wonderful God we serve. So anyways, here we are in this storm. He spoke to the waves. They stopped. Now, we spoke to the waves. They didn't actually stop, but they lessened. The ship got calmer, and God was good. Even though that we were rocking and maybe a little queasy, we didn't miss a single meal, did we? At mealtime, we were okay. We could eat. God took care of that. So anyhow, he spoke to it, and there was a calm, and he said, where is your faith or your confidence in me? So that's what I say. Where is our confidence in God? That's why we need so much to trust him on a daily basis, because storms are going to come. You know, they talk about that storm where, you know, the two houses, one was built in the sand and one was built in the stone. And what happened when the storm came? Of course, you know, just like if any of you have ever had those sand castles, when the waves came in, they're gone. That's what happened to those houses. But the ones built on the stone, on the solid foundation, they stood. And it was the exact same storm. But the ones that were ready, the same thing. Another one in the Bible was the virgins with the oil in their lamps. The ones that had prepared had bought extra oil. The ones that hadn't, they ran out. When they left to go get the oil, that's when the door opened up to let them in, and of course they missed out. So we have to be prepared. But to be prepared in the Lord is just like this. It's simple. We just seek him. We love him. We spend time with him. And we take that first step, because he doesn't expect us to do it all. He just wants us to let him move through us. Let him have his way, because his way is the best way. And in him, as Paul said, we do truly live and move and have our being. So I'm going to wrap it up now, but we're going to do communion when we're done. My wife's got another song, and we're going to come around and pray with you and talk with y'all. But we love you. And at this time of Thanksgiving, let's be thankful and think of what God has done for us. And realize that, like we said, I'll fly away. We've all got a mansion we're going to, and it's a wonderful thing. But if you're still here, that means God still has a purpose for you. And for one thing, you can all pray. That's the greatest job anyways. Pray for each other. Pray for us. Hear a siren. You pray for that. Pray for the leaders. If you've heard any news, you know there's been some bombings and so on going around, you know, terrible things. But pray for those people. And pray for the leaders, the authorities, that they'll have wisdom to stop any more from happening. Let them find out ahead of time what's going on, you know. Your prayers make a difference. And so anyways, we love you. And